Leon for praying, for lifting me to the throne room of God, and for his provision for us here this morning. May the Lord have his way here in our midst as we continue on here with the service. Thank you, Brother Stephan, for that word about the pure in heart and the kingdom of heaven. Just thanking the Lord for this time together here this morning. So this morning, God laid upon my heart to preach a message on a parable that Jesus shared in Matthew chapter 13 with us, with the disciples originally, and then with us here this morning, about the parable of the pearl of great price. There's a pearl of great price that we should be looking for this morning. And I trust maybe we have in our hearts and are experiencing. So this morning, as we, if you want to turn your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 13, that would be a blessing. Verse 44 will begin. And I just want to greet all of you this morning on the phone line, and ask that you would seek the Lord together with me as I look at this parable together with you, and see what God has laid upon my heart to share regarding this this parable that was penned over 2,000 years ago. As I was, we heard about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God this morning. I just kind of wanted to, at the beginning here, share that those are interchangeable. Several places it says kingdom of God, and other places it says kingdom of heaven. And it's my understanding, as I looked into it, that the Jews of Jesus' day, as it was thought in their thinking habits or patterns, it was thought that the name of God was too holy to utter at times for much of their thinking. You know, it was along those lines. And so they would often use the word kingdom of heaven, kind of indirect, you know, verbally speaking of God, but indirectly. And it was a Jewish tradition or culture. But today we're thankful that we can lift up and name the name of Jesus. That we don't have to, the need of skipping around the name of God, the name of Jesus. But just to boldly proclaim it wherever we are this morning. So if you want to turn your Bibles there to Matthew chapter 13, we will read 44 to 50. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he has, and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant, man seeking goodly pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, when he sold all that he had and bought it. And again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessel, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Wailing and gnashing of teeth. This morning, as we look at that pearl of great price, and I would like for us to notice that it says that when he did this, he did it with joy in his heart. He didn't just do it begrudgingly or otherwise, but it was with joy in his heart. The Christian The Christian will go forth with joy and sell everything else, count everything else as secondary or less, and to buy that goodly pearl, that pearl of great price. This morning, as we consider that, it is thought-provoking to me. You know, yesterday morning, as I was studying for this message, I was in my office and I began to hear a little noise outside the back corner of my office there in the downspout. There was a little flutter in there, and I heard it, and I heard it again, and it was persistent. So I thought, well, I should go look what's happening out there. And so I went out and I listened to the downspout, and I heard a fluttering inside. And it seemed there was a bird caught in the downspout. And of course, it went down to a drain tile, so it was connected, so he couldn't get out of the top and he couldn't get out of the bottom. And so he was caught. And I believe he would have gave anything. If that bird could talk this morning, he would give anything to get out of there. So I began to loosen the bottom of the downspout for him to come out. And I opened it and I made way for him. And I just stood there real nearby this downspout. And lo and behold, he kept coming closer to the bottom, closer. And then he stuck his head out. And oh, for the joy that he took off flying through the air. And that's the kind of joy that we should have this morning when we serve Jesus, when we sell all that we have to gain that goodly pearl of Jesus Christ and the church of Jesus Christ. So that just spoke to my heart, just blessed my soul as I thought of that pearl of great price. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than riches untold, the song says. You know, I think it's good for my heart this morning as I read this passage and as I spent, you know, time studying this. We're so captivated at the times that we're in, and that eternal life, it seems to fade from our view at times. What do we place our highest value on? That just spoke to my heart of that pearl of great price. And that treasure, having that treasure in my heart of that goodly pearl. As I was considering that, you know, in verse 50, let me see here. I think it was 52. At 52, I didn't read that, but it says there that therefore every scribe which is instructed into the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. So this morning, you know, as we teach our families, as we bring the truth of God's word to our family and to each other, there's these old treasures that we always have in our hearts and we speak about. But there's new and old. There's new things that God shows us. There's new trials. There's new victories that He wants to show us and bring us to. And so we can share those out of that treasure, that great treasure chest of Jesus Christ. And I would also like to say this morning that pearl of great price, I believe it is also the body of Christ. It's the church. That church that Jesus gave His blood for. It is also on a personal level. Jesus is a great pearl to us. But it also, I believe it could be interchangeable. Meaning the church of Jesus Christ is a goodly pearl. It's a pearl of great price that God has instituted. And we want to look more at that as we go along here this morning. I would like to look over in Matthew chapter 7. I was just really blessed with what Stephen shared there this morning. One of the verses in Revelation actually went with my message. He talked about those 12 gates of pearl in heaven. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 6, it says, do I have that right? Let me check that again. Yeah, Matthew 7, 6. It says, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you or tear you to pieces. So we notice this talks about your pearls. It's speaking about this parable, I believe, that Jesus spoke about a pearl, that pearl of great price. He said, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. And I think what he was saying is be careful when you sow the seed of God's word. Be careful when you come in contact with mockers and with those who are haters of God. Be careful. Don't sow those pearls to swine. It's a holy thing. God's word is holy. And those who would oppose it to the degree of mockery and blasphemy, to be careful that we not cast our pearls before swine. But we know it is God's heart that we reach the lost. We know of a surety that is His heart here this morning. In Job chapter 28, you could turn your Bibles over to Job chapter 28. I wanted to talk about the wisdom of God. Job, you know, that in light of having the pearl of great price and Jesus being our pearl, the church being the pearl. You know, what is more precious than Jesus and the church of Jesus Christ? What is more precious than that? I don't think there's anything that tops that. Job 28, verse 12. But where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it is not in me, and the sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten from gold, neither from silver, being weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, or with the precious onyx or sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. You know, just explaining this pearl of great price, how precious it is. Verse 18, no mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is far above rubies. So who can tell of the wisdom of God, the price of it, the worth of it this morning? And yet, as Jesus was speaking to the disciples on the pearl of great price, He used a pearl. And so may we continue to look to Jesus this morning and sell everything else. You know, that is so important that we just sell everything else. You know, I thought about that as I was sitting here this morning. You know, this could be a morning where we have a sale. And we're not selling merchandise. We're not selling goods. We're selling off those things that are of lesser value than the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We're putting in them in the right order. We need to put them in the correct order. also, you know, in pearls, they are a costly thing that we can purchase here in this life. And I had to think of Paul's words. You know, in 1 Timothy 2:9, Paul, he was concerned about, you know, Jesus taught about the pearl of great price. And then he brought this to the church, the church there, and he said, you know, in 1 Timothy 2:9, he said, women should be modest and not draw attention to themselves by the way they fix their hair or by the wearing of gold or by pearls or expensive clothes. He taught there, you know, that yes, we can make a likeness, and Jesus used this wonderful example of the parable. But he was also, Paul was making sure that we know that these pearls are not to put on, but they're for a parable. And so we know that those are much, we see that in the world around us. And may the Lord help us to always recognize that those are not God's heart for us, to adorn the outward, but much more to adorn the doctrine of God in the heart of man. This morning, Revelation 17:4. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. So we can see that the pearls are part of the Babylon downfall, the great whore of Babylon, that she's going to be destroyed, the harlot. And so we see that they were given to wearing of pearls. And then Revelation 18, verse 10 to 12. Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth her merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and brass and iron and marble." And we can see that this great city of Babylon that's going to be destroyed in 1 hour, we can see that she had costly pearls and things of that nature that she was given to. She seemed to have a eye for it, or a desire for those things that God was speaking against. And also in verse 16, it says, "Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls," it says. It says, "For in 1 hour so greater riches is come to naught." And so there's great judgment coming to that great city of Babylon. And there are those who, you could say, study, what city that might be. And some think it might be New York City. And of course, there's other cities that are equally as corrupt. But it's not the city that's corrupt. It's fallen humanity. That is the problem. Sin is the problem. It's not this certain city, but it's sin. Sin in the heart of man. Sin rages. And sin will destroy. Speaking of plagues, as we were just reading, there are these plagues in Revelation that are coming. I read in the end time news this week of there's a giant Asian hornet that has made its way to North America. It's here in North America. It's also called the murder hornet. It's a great big bee. It's up to 2 inches long, a hornet bee that is very deadly. It can kill up to 40 honeybees in a single minute. The stinger can go clean through the typical bee master's clothing, where they have these bee clothing that they wear so they don't get stung. The stinger can go right on through. It says when you get stung by this hornet, it feels like hot metal in the skin. It is very, very painful. But that's the most recent plague. Also, there this weekend, in Greece, the Crete island had a 6.6 earthquake, and Puerto Rico, the city of Ponce, had a 5.5. I think on Friday. And so we can see that the Bible tells us that in the last days there will be plagues and there will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be earthquakes in different places. And we see these things unfolding before our eyes here this morning. So that's why I feel like it is God's heart that we consider. We consider the pearl of great price and sell everything else, that we can have this goodly pearl this morning. So let's talk a little bit this morning about how pearls are formed. Pearls are a beautiful, whitish, ivory-looking little gems that much of the world goes after. So I want to explain here a little bit. They are from mussels, clams, or oysters. The oysters have the nicest and most expensive pearls are formed inside of an oyster. Oysters are known to make the best, most costly pearls. The process begins when a simple irritant makes its way into the soft tissue inside the shell of an oyster. It's normally a grain of sand or a parasite. Then as the natural movement of the water moves the oyster, it forms what's called a pearl sac. It kind of produces a protein-like glue substance called nacre, which is called calcium carbonate. And it keeps layering, the nacre keeps layering the pearl one time, each time, and it gets bigger. This calcium carbonate called nacre, it keeps enveloping it. And a freshwater pearl takes 1 to 6 years to form. A saltwater pearl, which is more expensive, it takes between 5 and 20 years to form a nice pearl. And think about that. You know, this takes time to build a beautiful pearl. And it's all God's doing. All the rest of the beautiful stones that are talked about in heaven and all around, they are formed in the earth. Man needs to chisel them out and bust them out of rocks and polish them and make them shine. But a pearl is God's doing. It's in the bottom of the ocean, in a clam, or at the edge of a seashore. And as the natural movement of water, it creates these beautiful little pearls, those pearls of great price that Jesus spoke about in this beautiful parable that we read here this morning. And I thought of Brother Marlon. He was over in the Philippines here, just got back a month or two ago. And I thought of this story. I found this story on pearls. The story is told about a Filipino fisherman about 10 or 12 years ago. This is supposedly a true story. He found a pearl off the coast of the Palawan Island. And it was rather large. It weighed 75 pounds and it was 26 inches long and 12 inches wide. It was very large for a pearl. Most of them are maybe the size of a marble or larger. And this old fisherman, he took it home and he thought it would bring him some good luck. So he put it under his bed in his old wooden shack. And he kind of forgot about it. Well, lo and behold, he had a fire. And he burned down his little wooden shack. And the officials came out, the fire officials came out to help him with that. And they've seen this pearl under his bed. And they recognized right away the worth or the value of this pearl. This was a large pearl. And it was later determined that this pearl was worth $100 million. Unbelievable how something like that could be worth that much money. Unbelievable. $100 million pearl that this man had under his bed. And he didn't know he had it. And let's draw a parallel to Jesus Christ this morning, the Church of Jesus Christ, and how precious and costly it is. And yet so many times, it's so easy to discount it, to walk away from it, to, just not recognize the preciousness of the pearl of great price, the church. And I would also like to draw a little parallel between two men. One of them still living today, and one of them lived about 100 years ago. I would like to talk about David Livingstone. He was born March the 19th of 1813, and he died May the 1st of 1873. I guess it wasn't quite 100 years ago, but yeah, whatever it was. It was He died May the 1st of 1873. And he died of malaria. He was a missionary to South Africa for most of his life. He had lots of difficulties. He was over in Africa there, and his wife didn't go for many years, and they had six children. And then his wife ended up going at some point to South Africa to be with him in the mission field. And not long after she got there, she died of malaria. And then he was alone again. I'm not sure how, I didn't spend much time reading it, but he was alone again. His children were obviously back here in the States, or I guess he was a Scottish man. He was a Scottish physician. He was a doctor. And he stood against the slavery that was so rampant in Africa at that time, where they were selling boatloads of slaves to Haiti and across the whole globe, just using them like animals. And he was standing against that, preaching the gospel, preaching the true gospel. And so if you look up David Livingstone, basically he says, known for spreading the gospel to West Africa. That's what Wikipedia will tell you this morning. And what are you and I? What are we known for? And then I'd like to contrast his life with someone that's living today. Most of us would know him, of him, I should say. His name is Bill Gates. He's the man that developed Windows for computers. He's basically responsible for putting the computers on the marketplace and making them usable for most of humanity. And the computer has done great things for our country, for the world, but yet we can't discount. We can't refuse to look at all the evil that has come with it. He's considered a tech giant. You know, and his net worth this morning is approximately $100 billion. He is approximately worth $100 billion. And this morning, as we consider him, he would be smart. He would be wise to sell it all and to embrace Jesus Christ. That would not be a shame in any sense of the word, but it would be the wisest decision he ever made. So just to speaking of a pearl of great price and discounting and selling everything else would be wise. David Livingstone, he had many challenges as well. He died at 60 years old of malaria. And at the end of his life, within the last number of years, 5 years or so, he was really at a low place in his life. He was over on the mission field. He had no money. He had no way to communicate with people in Scotland. And he was, Britain. I think that might have been where he was stationed. He was of Scottish descent. But this morning, as he got to working with the Muslims some, and they had material things that he needed, and so he would work with them and try to share the gospel with them. But it made me think of the passage I used earlier about don't cast your pearls to the swine. He, as I read some of his writings, he said that he was always careful to preach Christ to them, but yet he was careful not to cast it to the dog. He was careful how he did it because he knew how they were. But anyway, they talked him into using, he actually slipped to the level of using force to work with some of the situations that they were facing. And then after he saw what happened, I think it was 300 people that died from it. He didn't do it personally, but some of the people he was acquainted with, some of his people that he had been in contact with did this murdering, and he repented. It smote his heart, and he went away from them, and he got back on track. And praise God for that this morning. But just a couple quotes from David here. It says, "If a commission by an earthly king is considered an honor, how much can a commission by a heavenly Father be considered a sacrifice. You know, he was just saying that was an honor to be commissioned by an earthly king, but how? You know, he was saying a sacrifice is not even considered. My words are failing me there, but I think you know what I mean there. Then another one he shared here, it says, I will place no value on anything I have or may possess except in relation to the kingdom of God. If anything will advance the interest of that kingdom, it shall be given away only or kept only in reference to whether giving or keeping will most promote the glory of him to whom I owe all my hopes in time and eternity. And so he was basically putting everything in perspective. He said, anything I have, anything I am, I will donate and sell to Jesus Christ and make him priority, because everything else is just, it's not worth it. And then he also said that he don't feel like he ever made a sacrifice, even though he gave his life for the mission field. He feels like he never made a sacrifice. It was part of his quotes. And so I just want to move on from there. I know the time is swiftly passing here. But my heart this morning is that I, myself, along with you all, would consider the pearl of great price and sell all that we have that we could gain Christ, that we could gain eternal life. Because it is the most wonderful and beautiful thing that you will ever experience as we consider heaven. You know, Peter calls the church a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar and a unique people. That is the pearl of great price. Oh, that we could allow, that God would allow the scales to fall from our eyes. And these things that we are so natural at times. You know, let's look at the parallels between the pearl and the church this morning. You know, no matter how large or small a pearl is, it is one piece. It is one unit. All other gems or stones have to be cut, polished, or ground to make them worth anything. Jesus said, and again, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. There was no question. It was not something that he had to consider a lot. You know, pearls are taken from the sea. All other gemstones come from land. And that is God's doing. I had to think of pearls. A natural pearl is so unique. You know, you can buy man-made pearls, and they are all perfectly formed and round and shiny, but they're not like a natural pearl. A natural pearl is unique. Each one has its own size, and it's like the members of the body of Christ. It's like the church. We're all unique in our character, in our giftings, in our abilities, and in our different levels, yet one body. Some people can climb to high peaks of homes that are built, and others wouldn't do that. Others like to, you know, pour concrete, and some like to build cabinets. So all are unique in that sense, and I had to think of pearls. It is complete in Christ. And, you know, pearls begin with one irritating stone. You know, Jesus Christ irritates the ungodly. It is a stumbling stone of offense to the world, to the devil. And so this irritating stone, yet it creates a beautiful pearl. And I believe that's how it is this morning. If we submit to Jesus Christ, even though there's things that will, convict us at times. But it's a beautiful thing to allow that to come and convict us and allow something beautiful to come out of it. Allow something beautiful to form out of it. At the center of a pearl is a single grain of sand. And when the tiny stone becomes lodged in its shell, the oyster releases a film to coat the sand and relieve the irritation. It's Jesus that will make us who we are if we allow that irritation to be done away in Christ and in the working of the Holy Spirit. The pearl is the church. Jesus irritates Satan's kingdom, and all those who live in darkness will become irritated at the gospel. 1 Peter 2 says that this stone, Jesus, is a precious to those who believe, but to the disobedient, he is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. It becomes an irritant to those who don't believe this morning. You know, it is impossible for us to know how close we are to the day when the pearl of great price gets one last layer. To the time when those who love Jesus will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Matthew 13:43. You know that the church is being refined like a pearl. We don't know when the last layer will come. But we know God cares this morning. You want to turn over to John chapter 4. I heard this story this week. It blessed my heart as I considered it. The story is told of a young couple, maybe in their 40s, and the husband was gravely ill with cancer. And it was understood, unless a miracle happened, that he would pass within a very short time. And him and his wife, his young wife, were sitting by his bed, and he was perspiring on his head. It was sweat dripping off of his forehead. And she was, you know, comforting him by drying his forehead with a cool, damp rag. And they were believers. They believed in Jesus. They were born again. And, you know, there's times when what God does doesn't make sense. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't have a plan or know what he's doing. When we see God doing things and it doesn't make sense to you or I, he's up to something. We should just wait. We should just look on. We pray. Trust, believe, because he has a plan. But this young couple was sitting there, and they had a visitor walked into the room. And this, in light of joy, you know, I spoke about joy there in that parable of having that joy that is not based on our circumstances. This young bride, this young lady, young sister in the Lord, she was sitting there. And she had joy on her face. She wasn't happy, but she had joy in Jesus. And this man, you know, just asked her a simple question. And she said, I'm joyful this morning because my husband, he deserves to go to hell. But this morning, he can go to heaven because he's born again, because he's a blood-bought saint, because he has been made right by Jesus Christ. He has repented. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, the Bible says. All have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. So all of us deserve to go to hell in ourselves. But we have this sacrifice of Jesus Christ that we can reach out and we can sell that field and buy the pearl of great price. This morning, what a beautiful opportunity to serve Jesus in that way. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read this passage. It is a beautiful passage about the Samaritan woman who left her water pot. When she came to Jesus and he spoke to her, You know, Jesus was speaking about the pearl of great price. You know, he goes on there in verse 28. It says, "The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said unto the man, 'Come and see a man which told me all the things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ?'" She was willing to sell her water pot. She left it set. And she said, "This is a man who told me all that I ever did." And this morning, when I'm talking about selling your water pot, I still believe that it is God's heart that we work and provide for those who are in need and provide for our family. That's not what I'm talking about, but it is of lesser value for that pearl, you know, compared to the pearl of great price. The Bible says those who don't provide for their family are worse than unbelievers. We want to do that this morning. We want to be diligent in those areas. But as I considered this woman, it just spoke to my heart that, and he went back a few verses there, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in the spirit and in truth." He was speaking of a time that was coming, and that time was not yet when they had to go to the temple. But he was speaking of the bride of Christ there in verse 24. There's a time coming when we can worship God wherever you are, in the spirit and in truth. It's a condition of the heart this morning. So this morning, in closing, I just wanted for us to consider Peter walking on the water. When they saw that storm was boisterous and they were out on this boat and they seen Jesus walking on the water, and he said, "Don't fear, it is I. Be not afraid," he told his disciples. And Peter said, bid me come to you. You know, as Peter was willing to just sell whatever else was secondary that he could have Christ. And he was granted that, but he went just a few steps. And he began to look around and he began to sink. God knows our frame. He knows that we're made of dust. And he wants to strengthen us here this morning. I just want to encourage you in closing here. If you are not part of the bride of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, if you are not born again this morning, sell everything else. Put everything else on hold that you could find that great pearl. That pearl of great price, because time is drawing to a close. You know, as we think of the Gadarene, do you know demons like to beg? Demons will beg you to not repent. They will beg you to not turn to Christ. They will beg you to keep going your own way. They will beg you to stay as you are. "I'm too old to change." They'll tell you all those things. But they're lies. This Gadarene, he was healed. He was in his right mind. And he was clothed because he worshiped Jesus Christ. And he put aside the lie. And he looked at the pearl of great price. And he worshiped God. God doesn't always do what we think makes sense this morning. You think of young missionaries who were willing to give their life for the mission field or whatever else, for the work of the church, and are suddenly called home. But that doesn't mean that was a mistake. It means that God is up to something. Understanding God loves brings peace and faith. If you understand his love this morning, it'll bring peace to your heart and faith into your heart. But confusion, if you're in a state of confusion, it'll draw your faith down. It'll just diminish it. So do what it takes this morning to not live in a state of confusion. Open your heart to Jesus. Call someone you believe this morning could help you to get your life right with God. In the closing verse here, Philippians 3, verse 8. "Yet doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, the pearl of great price. So I want to invite you today to reach out and to embrace the pearl of great price. God bless you.